are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. Hi, this is Ilona Europa and Accent on LA Talk Radio every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific Time, of course, Channel 1, one of the hottest internet radio station, LA Talk Radio, number one on Google. Wherever we are, we can listen, we can download. Then, again, I love my Mondays, and this Monday I like just really love. Why do I love today's Monday? Because I have three guys with me. Three guys, and they're gorgeous. They are, I can say they're rich. Rich in not only with money. Rich because they're smart. Rich because they're experienced. Rich because they're educated very, very well. And rich because they have lots of friends. And one of them, it's me. I think they're lucky they have me in their lives. And hi! I want to say hi to three of them. Normally, Ilona is introducing people, but because today we have two wonderful guys with two different accents, probably they need to tell their names. Okay, on my right.
I'm Chris Breed, and I'm from England originally, now living here in America and enjoying life.
Oh my gosh. I just love his accent. Whatever he will say, I will believe it. I don't know why, but that's what English accent does it to everybody. I think it's just so royal. Hi, Chris.
Hello. How are you all doing out there?
I'm doing very, very well. 2014, everybody repeats. Enough of 2013, the worst year of my life. It's over. How was your 2013?
I suppose, you know, some changes going on. I think 2013 was a decent year, but 2014 is going to be amazing. Okay. Got a lot of new things in store.
We'll come back to it. Okay, now we have another guest. He has a wonderful accent. And you know what? People love this voice. Voice that we all know. Face that we all know. We love this guy for many, many years. Millions of people, if not more, were watching all around the world how he really, with tough hands and tough way, was just talking to future chefs. And he told them how bad they are mostly. Okay? Who is this guy? Hi.
Hi, Ilona. How are you?
Look at the raspy voice. May I know who you are?
This is Scott Liebfried, and I'm the only guy in the room that I don't think has an accent.
You are a New Jersey dude.
Well, hey, easy, New York. There is a difference.
I'm sorry.
That's an insult.
I'm sorry. We love New
Your Jersey. Russian accent is amazing.
Polish! Okay, now... We are even, okay? Okay, we are even. You're from New York. I'm sorry.
Originally, yes, I am.
Really?
Well, How you doing?
How you doing? I like it. Really? You think if somebody tells you that you are from New Jersey, you feel bad about that?
I don't feel good about it.
Gosh, that's another story for another accent.
We're very territorial. People from the East Coast are very territorial because there's a lot of different unique things about their independent cities that a lot of people don't know.
Okay, we are accepting this explanation. You are from New York.
Thank you.
Scott, wonderful. I know Scott for a few years. I love him. He's the bestest friend that you can have. And Guy, if you work with him, oh my gosh, you can put every money on what he is saying, what he's doing, and he will deliver. And I know something about that. Great guy. And now we have a friend. End of Accent On. You were here like 3-4 weeks ago before, like end of 2013, and I love your accent too. Okay.
Hi, Ilona, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Who are you?
My name is Christopher Petit. I'm from France.
Christopher Petit, I'm from France. You know what? And I was mentioning, because you have few names. Depends from what client or something. You just change the names. That's who you are.
No, I don't. I have only one.
Oh, that's so funny. But yeah, Chris, we love you. We love you because you are first French guy who said, I don't care going back to France. I just don't care about being French.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't like the weather there. It's too cold for me.
Okay, but you love Paris. You like your country.
Just a few days.
Oh, okay, now I don't want to go deeper because something I feel it is some tension there.
No, nothing. Oh, it's just that I don't like the weather.
That's all?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
And Paris, I think, is a beautiful city to visit for a few days, but not to live.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I know Europe very well. I've never been in Paris yet. And that's where I'm taking my daughter, Natashka, this year when we'll be visiting my own country, Poland. And that will be our stop. We'll go to Louvre and we'll hope, pray for good weather. I don't mind rain, for sure.
Well, if you do it in the summer, it's going to be okay.
Okay, that's what will be. Okay, then we have the special accent on. We are laughing, we have good time, but really this is a group of guys who are just very extraordinary. Okay, Chris, you are the main Chris Breed. You are the main guest today. I would love people to know a little bit about you because you are here like 20 years in America, yes?
Yes, as in, right, yeah.
Is it 20 years, okay. And you finished very, very known school in England.
Yes, King's College, Cambridge.
Cambridge, that sounds so royal also. Cambridge, you're a very smart guy. And you said, okay, one day you finish the school and you decided that your dream is to become successful in America. That's how this happened?
Well, I think I just came to America, one, like you said. I had an opportunity to come here. I was playing rugby at that time and I got a 2-year work permit to play rugby for New York Rugby Club. So that got me to America, and from there, my passion was business. That's what I majored in, so I became a businessman. And I got myself involved in the restaurant nightclub industry. And my first nightclub I opened was in Los Angeles, and it was called the Roxbury.
Uh-huh.
Which was, they made the movie about it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And had a lot of good
time. I knew you looked familiar.
So we did the Roxbury, and then from there we did a lot of other places. But there was always kind of a restaurant, nightclub, lounge, live music, DJs. And now I'm getting more involved in my food. As I'm getting older, I want to be more refined. So I'm getting involved in food and what I've learned about that over the years. And
is this because you are just bored with nightlife, or you just decided that age makes you more looking for what is the best in life and every moment in life counts, and you just want, really maybe not everything, but what you want from life?
Well, I think, you know, food and great wine and entertaining, I've always been a people person, so I want to be out there with people. And some of the people I've met over the years are very knowledgeable in this. So I put a app together with a friend and a partner of mine. And we have developed an app called Celebrity Web Chefs. And we're shooting that at the Four Seasons currently in Westlake, where we have some great chefs and we have our celebrity talent coming in. And people will be able to download this show and see some amazing things coming out of the kitchen.
Is this in front of the people or just on the cameras and focus on the chefs?
Yeah, focus on the chef and the celebrity, and the celebrity learning how to cook a nutritional meal.
How we will find you? Where we can find you? Could you give us?
We have an app on iTunes called Celebrity Web Chefs.
Okay. And this is weekly?
Oh, it streams all the time. So but anytime you want to get on there.
But the new
shows? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're developing shows right now. So we're in development and building more content.
Okay. And then you are building content and then we'll stay there and just... And your main topic, that's what we were talking a little bit before we enter studio. Your main topic for the cooking will be?
Healthy, nutritional cooking for the stars. Basically, and people will be able to see that and learn from that and probably want to eat like they do. That's the idea.
Okay.
How do they look so good? How do they look so good?
We hate them. We hate them. We really hate them.
They just don't eat.
They don't eat. Oh, I don't know what they do. I hope you will be truthful and you really will bring the celebrities who will prove that they really lost weight, not because they went on a Jenny Craig or something. There were lots of them running around the TV and say, look at me, you know, that's what I do. Because you really will be focusing on the cooking, like home cooking.
Yeah, you can cook it at home. You open your iPad up, you open it up in the kitchen, and you can get the instructional video right there in front of you. So
I love that, you know, because yeah, everybody loves to watch cooking shows, and we'll be talking a little bit to another our star here. And obviously, I'm so happy you both met. Chris and Scott are in the studio. I know something magical will happen between ideas that the two guys have, and hopefully, eventually, both of you will teach us what does this mean, healthy. I don't like word healthy. I don't know, because you say you need to eat healthy, it means that I already feel depressed. It means I don't eat right way. This is like, you know, the word that make me depressed. And or just I already do something wrong. When I'm mad at, oh, did you feed your child healthy snack? Oh, my gosh, I didn't. I'm bad mama. Horrible. Then find another name for fun, healthy. Maybe not, I don't know.
Obviously nutritional?
Boring.
Boring.
Sorry. What do you think, Mr. Scott?
I don't think you're wrong.
I love your voice. I keep it this way.
Yeah. The perception is definitely that
yes,
healthy food is boring, bland. Nutrition is not anything exciting at all. You know, I do think that there's a major swing in the public right now, and I think that people are tired of the white noise, and I think people are tired of being misled, and I think people are tired of being told, you know, something's organic, or at least it will be. Never programs, never ever programs, never ever ever programs, and all these things exist once you start really digging into it. Healthy eating is really just eating a balanced nutritional meal.
Yeah, which means I'm coming back because we are joking right now. We try to have, and we have a good time, I hope. You're right, Chris Breed. You know, you need to be word healthy, need to be nutritional. Without that, we cannot educate anybody. There are two words that everybody need to understand, like one plus one is two. You know, we need to know that the two components in a food, that's the most important one, the healthy and knowing what we are putting our body. And I'm hoping and I'm dreaming and I'm wishing you the best that you are the one, King of Hollywood, we'll talk about this. Also, why I'm talking to the king, because that's your name here in Los Angeles. Why you will be the one who will make us believe that whatever we see when people cook for you or for us on your app, that that's what is really nutritional and healthy, okay? Then you better be really truthful. If not, we'll be having accent on year from now. If I'll be fatter than today, that means that you lied, because I will be looking for the answer on your, okay, web chefs.
Well, I think everybody, you know, is into cooking these days. And, like, you know, TV shows are major. And I actually went to an event the other night, and it was called Good Day USA, and it was an Australian kind of award show. And they had an award for Jeffrey Rush as best actor, and all because he's an Aussie.
Yeah,
and they talked to him, and they come up with this award, and then the next award went to a chef, and you know, and he got it, and there was 1,000 people in the room, and he gets, and I'm having a blank on his name now, but he got a standing ovation just like the movie star did, you know, exactly the same, and he did his talk about what he's been doing in the kitchen, and he'd been on
Oprah
and all these shows, but they're just as big, these celebrities now, just as big as movie stars.
Come on, you invite people to your own home, you like people, you say you are a people person, and the same Scott, he was feeding us a lot of time. We'll come back to you, Chris, because you will bring a different look for what is food in your opinion, healthy and nutritional, and I'm so jealous. Every time when you post something on Facebook, it's like the bestest food, the little things from the bestest hotel, and he's like, oh, that's my food, oh, that's what I eat. Looks great. Looks really good. And I know you also are a very good-looking guy. Then you know what you are eating, and probably you are healthy, hopefully, and you know what you are putting in your stomach.
Well, but trust me, sometimes I go to the wrong place also, but then I don't post the picture.
I like this. This is the better show. I want to know about this.
Blame it on yourself. It's your fault.
Exactly.
But I know because you travel so much. And, you know, everybody says when you travel, it's the hardest to diet or the hardest to pick what is the best. Is because when you are hungry and you don't know really what to order, you order whatever is on a menu. And if you are in another country, you sometimes do not know what you are eating. And you ate crocodile meat not long ago.
Yeah, like a week ago.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Poor crocodile. What was it?
It's good, actually. It tastes like more, pretty much like chicken.
Oh, the fat chicken, the big one.
Well, that's a big one, yeah.
Okay, what they do? They, how do they prepare? Really like chicken? Like just little...
I had grill, yeah, with a, like a, some kind of sweet sauce. It was good. No, it's good.
Okay, for the first time?
No.
Okay. I know that you like to drink good stuff, too. Then probably Chris and Chris can talk about that, too.
Well, I like the way he, you know, he's wearing a snake skin jacket and he eats what he, you know, he eats the animal before
he eats what
he
wears.
Out of a jacket out of it. And I like that. That's a good idea. And
I hunt, I eat, and then I make jacket. No, I waste nothing.
You know, yeah, I really apologize because I'm assuming that everybody knows who is Chris Pettit because he was here already a few times and his face and his gorgeous, gorgeous jackets and also his business. You can tell us again, website?
It's called privatehautecouture.com.
Cash again.
Privatehautecouture.com.
Hautecouture.com. If somebody doesn't understand what he's saying, please go to my website, Accent On, and links is there. But again, Chris has a corner in the market. He just finds billionaires and millionaires who just want something so special that costs like $1 million. And that's what he's doing. $1 million jacket, $700,000 jacket. Last time, that's what he brought on him. And, you know, and I was like touching these diamonds. They're beautiful. Beautiful and connected to police, which is the craziest. Your jacket can be like when somebody tries to steal, police knows right away?
Not the police. The owner knows.
Oh, it's like dog. They know.
It's connected. I mean, the jacket is connected to your phone,
so jacket? It's got a low jack on it.
Yeah. There's like a credit card size device on the jacket that is connected to you know, your phone. There's an application, and whenever the jacket leaves a certain protected range, you know, area, you first get an alarm on the phone, and then also an alarm on the jacket. The jacket rings with 105 dB.
Wow. So I like what you said. It's like personalized. Yeah. When jacket leaves the room, then, you know, owner knows because, you know, it's like...
So you got to be careful because, you know, it happened to me at the very beginning. Like, I would, you know, leave the jacket here and then go to the bathroom. Then
no, you don't do that. Don't tell me. Really?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You know, you are right because if people... you need to enjoy certain things in life. If you really spend money on something, you cannot be obsessed about that because then try... This is like trouble, but I'm not saying everybody can run around in jackets like you have. Everybody needs to go to website again?
www.privatehautecouture.com.
And just find something else. We don't need to buy $1 million jacket. You have great stuff there.
No, there's everything. I do shoes, jacket, shoes, bags, travel bags, jewelry, and all kinds of accessories like belts, iPhone cases, iPad case, I mean, a lot of stuff.
And they are very, very well made from very rich skins, yes, very unusual.
Yeah, like all kinds of exotic leather, like crocodile, of course, ostrich, different snakes.
It's very good website, very cool website. And like I say, something that you do is very unusual. I still believe that $1 million jacket is something nobody thought about that. That's why I love you for that. It's just cool.
So what's considered the best leather? What animal does it come from?
The most expensive is the crocodile.
But is it the best?
Why?
No, is it the best? You know, in your opinion, even if it's expensive, do you think it's the best?
I would rather go for ostrich. I think ostrich is more elegant.
But you know what? Some type of leather Chris Breed told you when he touched your beautiful jacket today, the blue one with the gorgeous... is this a real fox?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You cannot tell this in L.A.
He shot the fox.
It's real fair.
He shot the fox, so, you know...
Blue, beautiful.
What the fox says.
What the fox.
You know,
but the new song. What the fox.
Yeah.
Well, and he's very gentle. The jacket is just gorgeous. We can see you because you present also your wardrobe on your website. It's beautiful, light, gentle, and just
Thank you.
Gorgeous. Oh, God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we know that you are more than it. You are just an unusual guy. You do so many things. Another Renaissance man. Okay, Chris, breathe. We have
yes.
two Chris's. Chris, coming back to you, you came, you said 20 years, you are 20 years in L.A. L.A. is your town of the choice?
Well, I actually moved to New York when I first got to the country. I enjoyed New York. It was great. I got
food.
There in 86, actually, when they won, the Giants won the Super Bowl. The mm-hmm. Mets won the baseball.
The World Series?
Yeah, the World Series, and it was a great year. And mm-hmm. I saw like all this action going on in America, and I said, oh, I love this. But then I hit the winter a couple of times in New York, and I found my way to L.A., and I said, hey, this
that's
is
my
better.
Home.
Yeah, riding around in a convertible car, I think, in, January.
That's better.
And I said, wow, yeah, I like this. I'm going to move here.
And then, you said that really nightlife, that was something that you just loved it so much. 80s especially, we know, dance and parties, and we all love this era.
Yeah.
But now... Yeah, maybe you are 1 year older and you just decided that you want to switch a little bit, yes, your way of life. And you are focusing more on opening restaurants and making this.
Yeah, I mean, I've owned a few restaurants all the time. I've been in the club business. I've had like the Pig and Whistle on Hollywood Boulevard. I've had that place for 17 years now. And I've always enjoyed the restaurant business and bringing back some historical landmark like the Pig and Whistle was really, I'm happy to do that. It kind of made me feel good to bring something back.
Is this your idea, the way how a restaurant looks and what this will be like? Is this you or you have people, you have a group of people who you really talk about, or you are like the spotted guy, say, that's how it will be because I want it?
I think, anything you do, you have to have partners. I mean, there's a staff and they all help you achieve your goal. But I think, one person's vision, and that's my vision, and other people help me achieve that vision.
I like that. I like this because many people, they put group of people together and they don't really know what they really want. And they say, that's your fault. No, I really believe in being a leader. Leader needs to have a vision.
Yeah,
that's
it's either a lead or, take the lead or just follow.
Leave.
Okay. Take the lead or follow. That's what I think it is. Don't try to be... half of something.
And you know what? It's just perfect because following somebody else's vision, if you believe in a vision of a leader, that's really what changes the world. Look at the Valenza. I'm going political a little bit, but really we know what's happened to solidarity. One simple man with big vision and honest heart and knowing what's going on, and people follow him. The same in a restaurant. You're right. Anything what you do, the same. Yeah, I'm coming back to you, Scott, because you are a chef, but you say that certain part of restaurant life just doesn't interest you. You like to do what you like to do. You are leading your own corner. What is the corner in your life?
Well, yeah, you are correct. I mean, I did try to be more of the businessman for a couple of years, and it didn't work out very well. It worked out okay, but I wasn't very happy because there was so many parts of it that... I was excited about, but it's just not my interest level.
Yeah, I know well because you're a tough guy outside again. You look very tough. You are really a tough man, but you are very soft also human being and very honest. And I know what you are talking about. Certain part of business is not what is you, your character. You like art of cooking.
Yes, very much. Just like what Chris said, there's got to be a... there's got to be a team of people that understand what the vision is, and the visionary has to be clear of what that is. And the rest of it from there is just a creative process, and you can't really close your mind in a creative process. You got to keep it pretty wide open.
If you will describe a way how you cook, how we can describe, I know because I ate, I can describe in my Polish funky ways, and I say only I love it. But you have a motto, beautifully explain what is your cooking about.
I think I know a little bit. I'm more confident in what I do just based on my experiences. My family were produce farmers. They built the first produce delivery company in New York where I'm from, and it was a thriving business, and they own the farm, and we still have the property in our family. But when I moved to the suburbs as a very young kid, my grandfather planted a massive garden in the backyard where everybody else had a swimming pool and a swing set. We had this massive thing, so I learned a lot about it. My mom canned and pickled, and I've done all, that was my upbringing,
which means the real taste of the food. that
food
can...
Food is supposed to taste like food, and it's supposed to be extremely simple. And, you know, from both of your experiences to the gentleman in the room with me, it's just... Sometimes people just have a tendency to get too carried away with their creativity to forget what the goal is. And the goal is to make an amazing flavored chicken dish and an amazing beef and a properly cooked piece of fish. And allowing all of the ingredients that are together to support each other to create one cohesive style of dish, and not about trying to have too many flavors of everything mixed together, because that doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, and you have heartburn mostly. Or they just say, why did I eat that? Oh my God, what did I do?
Cooking is patience too. And, yes. And the time of the ingredients being added to develop the layers of flavor to end result being something that has this amazing depth of flavor where it's, you know, every taste is something different. There's the light garlic, and then, oh my God, there's the tomato, and now you got garlic, tomato, and basil, and oh my God, there's a little bit of lobster in there, but I don't really know where it's coming from. So, you know, my biggest challenge throughout my entire career was to really find people that understand the process of cooking in order to have the best end result, because a lot of people try to rush it, and they're very quick about it, and it's not that kind of business.
No.
You know, I'm impatient in everything else in my life, but that's the only part that I can actually sit back and really think about, because you know, when you do, it makes a difference. It's just like designing the right dining room, the right nightclub, and just like the right piece of jewelry or case for an iPod or a jacket, it's a process. And if you shortcut that process anywhere through, the end result's going to be nothing different than the average person can do.
And I love that. You know, I always say, even music, you know, in music, when you write a song, you know, I write songs, and I just want people right away know what is this song about. I always say, okay, honey, when I teach somebody, I'm coaching them singing, I'm like, honey, you cannot mix everything. It's like dinner. You need to know what you are eating, what the dinner will be about, you know. It's like you have a plate, and you know that it will be meat, it will be potatoes. The same with singing, you know. A lot of people like to mix and match a lot of style music in one, you know. And to me, it's like, too much production, too much everything. I want to know how singer sings. I want to know if his guitar that I want to hear it, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I just don't like food that when I go to the restaurant, I don't know what is inside, because sometimes it just feels like everything is there, but is this meat, is this chicken, is this beef, is this fish, what is this, you know? Tastes like nothing really, but fills me up, and then I don't feel good about it. Sorry, I would say bad Chinese mostly. I can say that's what I'm talking about, bad, because I think good Chinese is amazing, but I didn't have a too good Chinese ever yet. I think that some people say, oh, you never had a good Chinese, that's why you're saying, you know, Chinese is not good. Do you know how to cook good Chinese? Or your restaurant, they're serving good Chinese in your restaurant?
No, no. Well, I did have a club / restaurant called White Lotus in Hollywood, and we did like Pacific Rim food and a sushi bar. I think we really hit it very well in that time.
Clean and, you know, not like the mushy-gushy.
Yeah,
then
really
bleh.
Healthy and good. But, you know, my favorite Chinese restaurant is in San Francisco. It's called House of Nanking.
Say what?
And it's reasonable price, and it's really tasty, really good. I think
no, you are not joking. I don't know.
It's a real restaurant, and I like it a lot.
Wonderful. Oh.
But I mean, yeah.
Your restaurant, is what type of food you are serving, and why every you have few restaurants? I still want their names. I think people need to know that that's your restaurants, and that you really created them, and you had a vision for them. Why one is different from another? You need to give me how many restaurants you think you just created in the last 20 years?
Oh, well, between nightclubs and restaurants, probably 20.
That's a lot.
But I think the new place I'm opening now, I've learned a lot. And I think this one's going to be really special. It's in Woodland Hills, just down the road from here, from the studio. And right now, you know, it's called the Villa Collection. And in that particular property, we're going to do a vine garden, doing wine and flights of wine. And
it's like simple gardening. It'll be that you go to the garden and you know what you are drinking. You have a little wine. You have what type of food? I want to know.
The food is going to be developed as we, you know, we're developing that right now. We've got people in the kitchen and working up the dishes right now as we speak.
You create a menu for your special restaurant.
Yes, of course.
Which means, again, what is with the name? Can we tell what is the restaurant and when will it be open?
Well, it's three different places within one building. So one area is the restaurant itself is going to be called The Doors.
Okay. Hey.
Not hey, the band.
Don't want to say. Is there some connection with some band or just
no,
the Doors?
The Doors.
Okay, to there.
And
okay.
Then the garden is called Vine Garden, and that's the wine area. And then
I
upstairs
like
is going to be like a private lounge, and that's called Bravado.
Bravado.
Yes.
Mm.
I always like to add a little lounge.
How many seats? How
we
many people in Bravado?
Upstairs, you mean?
Yes.
I don't know. The private lounge, probably you can fit about 60 people up there.
Okay.
That's it.
You think that you'll be going for the big meetings, or rather anybody can go and just enter this place, Bravado? That really sounds great.
No, that's more the private lounge, yeah. Sort of upstairs. But dining room, anybody can go in the dining room and enjoy the food. Anybody can go in the wine garden and enjoy the wine. And
the Doors.
Yes, and then upstairs, Bravado is going to be for some of my friends. And
sometimes I think nobody will enter there from us. No, I'm sure, Scott, I'm sure you'll be cooking something eventually for Chris. And I think
I
you
so.
Men,
he's
your
amazing.
Million dollar
does.
Jacket gentleman, I'm sure will go there too. No, come on, guys, maybe I can go when you open and check, and I'll tell if I like the food, because that's what I really want to eat in America, good food, okay?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll be healthy and nutritional? This is what
yes,
you plan on to be?
Yes, definitely plan on that, yes.
Okay. Then if you say 20 restaurants, how many you can say that the coolest one? And you are so proud of them because they have staying power and their vision was really what you wanted and they're still very loved by people. Which, can you pick three names?
Well, you know, me being in the nightclub business has been harder because you don't nothing lasts more than 5-6 years
yep,
in that, so
that's true.
I've had a lot of changes in those, but it's been fun. I mean, always building new places, having the hottest place in town has been a lot of fun. But restaurant stay in power, I suppose, is the Pig and Whistle on Hollywood Boulevard, which is
yes, a
great steady income and a good little business for me. That's
fun place to hang out too.
Yeah, it's a good little place to hang out and watch games, sport games, that sort of thing. But all the restaurants I normally open, I've opened a lot as a consultant for people too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not always been my places.
Okay.
I've been down to Miami, I've been to New York, I've been to Chicago.
And if somebody wants to hire you, are you available? I have no time.
Maybe.
No, I'm
depends
serious.
On the price.
That's
the
right.
Project, yeah.
That's a case-by-case racket
yes,
if you want
think,
to get
Vegas,
it.
Okay. I mean, I've done a little consulting in Vegas, and I think that's something I'd probably go back to doing.
Yes, good restaurant, good hotel. Little time, nobody has European hotel in Vegas. Like, really feels like old Europe. They do plasticky European style, but not the real way. Maybe you'll be the first.
Well, I'm really concentrating on my web show. That's the biggest thing,
okay,
right? Celebrity
okay,
web chefs is something I want to concentrate on and push that in, because I think it can really help people and it can help me maybe become a rich man.
Okay. Okay, everybody need to go there and
everything
check
for a
the
reason.
Yeah, you know, being
nothing's for vanity anymore.
No, I think being rich, if you know what to do with your money, can have beautiful, beautiful outcome. I know that you are a very charitable gentleman.
Yes, then, I love to give back. That is for sure.
Yes, then we love you for that. You know, I don't want people to think that Chris is all about money, although cars that he's driving drive me crazy too. What you are driving right now?
What, you mean my Aston Martin?
Ah.
No, I'm driving a Jag right now. The Aston Martin is the next dream car for me. I think that's the one I'd like.
Okay,
the four-door.
Okay, 2014, I'm sure will happen, because if we set up the goals, they better happen, okay?
So no? Everybody goes on to Celebrity Web Chef and
we will.
Download it.
I promise we'll be pitching.
Maybe I'll have an Aston Martin
and again,
one day.
You know what? We have few also producers who are coming to Accent On, and they're pretty, pretty hot producers, and they pitch for very big network shows, and you never know what will happen, you know. The same how was Hell's Kitchen, yes? There wasn't right away a very, very big show. There was an idea and then hit it off, you know, because of two personalities. There was yours too, yes? And Gordon, you know, everybody knows Gordon Ramsay, you know,
yeah,
tough dude that we fell in love with because he was so honest and brutal and just like he
yeah,
killed people inside by the food that he was creating. People believed in a way how he... He was just dealing with food and restaurant issues, yes?
Yeah, just like anything else, it's hard in the beginning. And it was really hard. But I think, you know, my gratification came from the whole thing of, you know, yeah, I was able to do some great things over the course of 5 or 6 years that I never thought I would do in this life. And the travel was great. But at the end of the day, what was more gratifying to me was that, you know, I met a lot of people that come through the the casting, and some of them, you know, have no hope whatsoever. And there's always one or two in the group that make you think a little bit more about them and their success. And out of all the people that I've come across, couldn't even count how many of them, but there's, you know, three that actually I still keep in touch with that are, you know, they're good people. They work hard. They're good cooks. And they aspire to get to where they are right now by working really hard, because that's what it took.
I know you're working on something in New York right now. I know that we always talk about another great TV show, another great idea. It's just we are all a little bit tired of reality shows and cooking shows. They seems like they are very similar, and that's normal because that was a fad that probably will go away. It's something to be more real, that the reality show of cooking and, of course, I don't want to sell what I'm thinking, but it's something is there that nobody yet brought to the our rooms, that when we sit in front of TV, we want to jump right away and start cooking because we saw something, because it was simple, because it wasn't so tough explained, because it wasn't really about entertainment, but it was pretty like grandma showed me how to, and I will remember until I die. And the same my daughter remembers, because when I make my Christmas, she already knows what I'm cooking. She's learning, and it's not painful, but she knows the taste. The taste is recognizable and very easy, and it's just transferable from the grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? Just stays in the family. And I think that's what I would love, Chris Breed, from you, and also Scott Liefrit. I would love all of you to create some type of menu that is maybe 2014, but still reminds us of what life was before. And, you know, just point on that. So that's grandma's taste. It's butter. You know, just have it once a week. That's what soup is about. It's hearty, it's meaty, it's tough. But you know what? When you do this on Monday, you still on Saturday, you can have it because you freeze a little bit and will taste even better a few days later, you know? And then steak, I know, oh my gosh, you know, I know that you are like king of steak, Scott. You do so good job with meat. And that's what, obviously, I'm coming back to Chris Pettis, because you love food too.
And I'm a meat person.
Yeah, and you travel so much. And could you tell us the difference between European way of eating, American way of eating? And what, if you will have your dream restaurant in America, in L.A., what type of food would be like?
Probably Asian.
Asian food.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite.
Because of taste or because of healthiness?
No, because there's a lot of, you know, I mean, it's quite different from what we're used to in Europe. And there's a lot of spices and stuff that are, I mean, that we're not used to.
Then if you go, like, abroad, what would be first meal that you will go after? What this would be like?
If I go to where?
Anywhere. I don't know. You said Asian. Probably Asian tastes differently in, you know, Arabia, differently in France, differently in America. I'm sure they have different type of cooking.
I love something from Thailand, because I just came back from Thailand.
Okay, tell us.
I love the chicken pad thai.
Oh, we love it too. That's
classic.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Exactly. Easy, basic stuff. I'm a big fan of sushi as well. But yeah, chicken pad thai is probably my favorite.
Yeah, and because people know, because Accent On is, I hope, a very unusual show. And thank you for listening. We have downloads going crazy right now, and more, especially from Stitchers. Thank you so, so much. And I think the idea of bringing international group of people outside who are really successful in America, and they create who America is today. You know, when it comes to the kitchen, I think we are missing the point. Something is there, that the mixture of American way of eating and European way, of Asian way, we're supposed to teach our children how to cook this type of meal. You know, why not just make this more multicultural way of cooking in home, but still the best of the best? I don't know. I'm talking.
No, I think that's a great idea. I think, you know.
Thank you. $1 million. I want the car. You know what
getting
I want?
Kids back in the kitchen is a great idea. And yes. Parents getting their kids to actually learn about cooking and enjoy cooking. Because
they love it anyway to watch that.
They're on the internet all day long anyway. So why not look at something on the internet where you can actually look at making some food with your mum or your dad and make it fun?
Okay, now we have idea for the good
the funny thing
TV show.
None of it's different either, though. I mean, with all of us in this room from different places, there's really, you know, every culture has a foundation of what they cook, and it's based on what was available and what you had that you can get your hands on. And then that is the foundation of of everything. So, you know, you got to imagine that a pad thai was like the most readily available.
I don't know
set
how to make it. I don't
were,
know.
That
I love it
for the longest time, and you know, you got to think about. You know, in the French culture, you have the mother sauces, and everything comes from a derivative of one of those, and that's how cooking started. And Italians have the same thing, where everything's
genius.
The basis
what we are
of
saying
sauce.
Right now is genius, guys. It really, you know, cookbook that is live cookbook for our children, which means we'll be learning too because we'll be part of the cooking. But really, that brings international cooking. Taste that we love anyway. We know what we are liking with Chinese when we go for Chinese, Japanese, Polish food. We know kielbasas. We know if we can create for this melting pot that America is the way of cooking that we'll enjoy, you know, a little bit taste of everybody's countries that we really are familiar with, I think, and teach our children how to do it. I don't know how to cook Chinese. I love Chinese, but I would like to make my own version. Show me how, you know. Make me understand that I can do it, not only going to restaurants. Sorry, Chris. I'm not taking your guest away from you. But I think the home is a perfect restaurant. That's a restaurant is a home, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, the beauty of an app is that you can go you can download it from anywhere in the world. So we're not just talking about America having this app available, having it available in China, having it available in all over Europe. So, you know, and meeting chefs out there eventually when this thing takes off, mm-hmm. and going out to these other countries and filming shows and doing it in their native language and that sort of stuff. And
I love it.
That's where we see ourselves being eventually. And, you know, teaching what, I mean, a lot of people say what's organic, but actually getting out in the farm, in the field, and wow. talking about what an organic vegetable means and what it is to be organic or a meat.
Also, don't forget that when you travel, yeah, travel, but we want to find this in America. Then better, you know, teach us how to and where to go to really get what you are maybe finding in another country that is so good. But
it's all here.
It's all here.
You really have to just take the time to go out and find it, but it's all here.
I know.
And availability that people are not even sure.
Okay. I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. What are you eating, Chris?
Scott's actually the real chef here, so let him do the cooking, and
I'll
do the instructional video.
Yeah. Okay. No. Chris Breed, again, because we have two Chris's. Chris Breed, you also are schooled when it comes to culinary school. Then you mentioned before you had a reason why did you decide to learn that, but you are a cook probably too, yes?
I love to cook at home, yeah. And I love the flavors of food. And really, when I did Cordon Bleu cooking class for a year, just to learn about cooking and understand it and what it meant to be a different cut of meat and different spices and how to blend sauces and all that stuff. It's very important for my taste buds because I'm a restaurant owner, mm-hmm. but I didn't know these things and I wasn't trained in that. So it was an important part of my growing process in this business.
Yeah, that's hey, I love it. You know what you are talking about. And Scott, you finished very known school too, you know. And how different is this what they were teaching you there and who you become right now?
I don't think it's changed much. It hasn't really for me. You know, the education's important to really learn the fundamentals and the foundation, and then whatever you do with it from there is entirely up to you. But I do think that if you don't know the basics, and I'm sure, Chris, your experience at Cordon Bleu taught you an awful lot. If you don't understand the fundamentals, the real basic things of food and preparation, then you're never really going to be able to build on that from anywhere.
That's why I think the web chefs are so, so great. You know, really, if you can have this on your computer in front of the kitchen, you just go there, you know, okay, what I will do today. Well, let's see what Chris Breed will tell me what to cook today. And maybe it'll be a little Chinese, maybe a little American, maybe a little English food, whatever.
Hey, England's come a long way with their food. I was just over there for Christmas.
Okay.
They've got everything.
But you were in some great hotel. I saw your picture from the top of the, you know, I don't know where you were, but obviously looked very rich and very gorgeous. They fed you well, I'm sure, and wasn't English food, I'm sure.
No, he wasn't hanging out having a plowman's
no,
lunch or anything like that.
Liar. But anyway, yeah, that's great. Improve English food that we all just fell in love with all over with this type of food, okay? And the same with Mr. Chris Petit, because I know you are also art dealer. This sounds so good, but you also know what is the replica perfect and what is the original perfect. Then you probably can find what is perfect food in Asia and what is not so perfect food, Asia food in America. You know the difference, yes? It's everything is all truth or not, or is interpretation. What do you think?
I think it's all about your personal taste. Sometimes, you know, something you like, you don't like, it depends.
Okay, I liked it too, which means we need to please people's taste.
Yeah.
Okay, then I will do a little break because we have 10 minutes before show is over and I would like to give people a little bit of music. It's my show. I'm playing from time to time my song, the test time from England. Our English producers, UK producers, Eternal Kiss, song that I will be pitching soon to the radio next month.
Bye.
like this song. I wrote them. Thank you, Club Junkies from UK. The song was like 3 years ago written, and I think 2 years ago we just got the remix and production, and I just was releasing different songs, but I think time is right now for Eternal Kiss. And then No More Easy Come, Easy Go. That was 2013. We don't want to talk about that anymore. Anyway, we have 3 more minutes before we need to say bye to our listeners, and I really like you guys. Thank you so much for coming. First, I know how busy all of you are. Chris Breed, you are my new friend, and I really appreciate it because I know you never know, the same like in live, you never know, people say something and the plans change, and in live radio that's really tough because that's live radio. We cannot not have a guest. And you said you are coming, and you are wonderful with communication, and I was just very excited to learn more about you, and I'm really, really you're a Renaissance guy, and again, I'm talking to King of Hollywood. That's very, very important
thing.
That's official name.
I've never met a king before.
Oh, well, and it's time to have a crown.
Wow.
Having interview with King, guys, we are really, really lucky. But you are really, you are a king. King because, you know, you are leader. And that's before was king. Now we call this leader. Then I'm wishing you so much luck with your pop.
Well, up. We'll... Yes. I just wanted to say it's called Celebrity Web Chefs. And if you wanted to, like, shoot me a personal email, you can send it to chris@celebritywebchefs.com with any thoughts. We're, as I say, it's a new build. It's a new business. It's a new business we're building out there. And we think it's a great opportunity. And love you for your support. And everything else I'm doing in Hollywood, I'm sure you can just Google me.
Yeah, and we can go and try and visit your new restaurants, new venues, and we'll be doing this. We are promising. And you'll be back, hopefully, because I know that your dreams are developing, and we want to know in 2015 if you got your Aston Martin.
I'll let you know on that.
I remember that.
I want to read about it in the paper.
Okay, we don't believe what paper says. Then, you know, we need to see, make a picture, and see if really he owns the car. That's what we want to know. Scott, I love you. We know each other many, many years. And I love your wife. And I know that you have beautiful new news. I don't know if you want to share with our listeners, but your life just changed rapidly. And you are very happy man right now.
Yes.
Family man. And we are very happy for that. And I know you are working on many things. But if somebody wants to hire you, and probably for really good money, they can call you or they can contact you where?
My website is scottleapfree.com. There's obviously a Facebook page. I think Chris hit it on the head. I mean, you can just, if you do a Google search, I'm sure there's multiple places.
Could you spell your name? It's a very unusual name.
Yeah, it's S-C-O-T-T, two T's, the first one silent. My last name is L-E-I-B-F-R-I-E-D.
Wonderful. And of course, Accent On, we have all the contact there, and you can always talk to me. I will put everybody. I love matchmaking. That's very cool. I like to be matchmaker for 2014 with percentage. Because yeah. I want.
Maybe you know, not today.
Yeah, I want my own car. You know, this year my daughter bought me a car because I had like no credit. You know, that's a long story. And this American dreams that didn't happen. And when crash people little bit know about this, I'm talking about too much about lots of funky stuff in my life. But anyway, yeah, my baby bought me a car and I'm driving Jetta and I want a little bit something else that maybe will happen. We'll see. And when it comes to Chris Petit, you have also business that we would love to people know. You know, I'm talking about art. I'm talking about something that a lot of people want to have in their houses, but maybe they don't know how to find. How we can find a replica that is fit for the kings? Homes.
The website is under my name, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you Google Christophe Petit, you will find it.
Boy, he's so shy. Again, how we can find you? Could you spell Petit? Because it's different than you think.
It's P-E-T-Y-T.
Wonderful. Yeah. And again, if somebody wants to know more about Ilona Europa, you just listen to my radio. You will know everything. Anyway, I love you people for listening. And I know we'll be back and we'll find out more what's happened in our lives maybe a few months from now. Thank you so much again for coming. Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
And happy 2014. And like I mentioned, Chris, I didn't get angry for your letter to Santa, because I know you wrote something to Santa that didn't give you present, and I hope 2014 you get a nice present. I don't know what it is. Do you have a dream?
Nothing special.
I love that. Okay, Santa, you are free. Don't worry, Chris is happy and
he
doesn't.
I go shopping on my own, it would be better.
Okay.
Like I did for the last Christmas.
I love you people. Thank you for listening and till next Monday.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.